Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Carbonite. Backing up files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TNT. And by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or visit Slingbox.com/TWiT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Becky Worley.
And behind the board is our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan. How you doing, Eric?
Good. How are you guys?
And welcome, everyone, to the show where we try to make some sense out of the tech news of the day. And if we can pull up the pictures, iPhone 4 launch day lines have begun. We take you to London. Oh, wait, that's the men's warehouse. Where is that? That doesn't look like London. That's San Francisco. We already have somebody in San Francisco. Look at that. But also in London, they have a long line. If we go farther down, there's people camping out because it's a little later there. I'm getting dizzy looking at those pictures. But there you go. That's the big London line. But yeah, this space for sale in San Francisco. We'll have a little more iPhone news in a bit. But first, this just in: YouTube has won their case against Viacom in district court. YouTube is protected by the safe harbor of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, according to this decision. And therefore, the court issued a summary judgment, Becky.
Summary judgment.
Yeah, that means we don't even bother take this to trial. We looked at the facts of the case as submitted by both parties, and we can give you the judgment right now.
So let's just backtrack and let me see if I get this straight. So YouTube has videos that came off of Viacom properties, correct?
That is the accusation, is that, yes, Viacom copyrighted material had been uploaded to YouTube. Right.
Now, Viacom says, hey, take our material down. We have copyright on that. YouTube says, hey, you knuckleheads were the ones who posted it in the first place.
In some cases, yes.
So this just proves my point that Silicon Valley companies, especially when you add an old media and a new media component, are just a bunch of bitchy little girls.
You know what? Sometimes that's what it turns out. According to the decision, they found that YouTube acted in a timely manner as soon as they were notified of the clips and took them down. So what are you going to do? I mean, what else can you do? What Viacom's saying is that YouTube should be responsible for preventing these from getting up in the first place. What YouTube is saying, what Google is saying, is that we wouldn't be able to have a business if that were the case. Safe Harbor says that we're not responsible for what people put up, and we just have to make a good faith effort to address it when you find it.
That seems like a pretty onerous request to say you need to police all of your users and make sure that they don't have copyrighted material. It seems to me like the onus should be on the copyright holder to pursue any actions against a company, and as this judgment obviously is upholding, then the company, YouTube in this case, has to take the material down as requested. And if it bears out to be true that the copyright has been infringed upon.
Well, or you could say that this ruling is fundamentally flawed and contrary to the language of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, if you're Viacom, because that's exactly what they said. And they intend to have these issues before the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Second Circuit as soon as possible. So this ain't over yet.
Well, the fact that one of the things presented by YouTube was that Viacom employees were going to FedEx offices and uploading videos so that they would go viral and appear to be from average users, not Viacom itself.
When you absolutely have to infringe copyright overnight.
Get yourself to a FedEx Kinko's. So, I mean, they didn't help themselves by making this a very complicated case.
Yeah, here's the court's actual language. The present case shows that the DMCA notification regime works efficiently when Viacom, over a period of months, accumulated some 100,000 videos and then sent one mass takedown notice on February 2nd, 2007. By the next business day, YouTube had removed virtually all of them. Sounds pretty clear cut to me.
Story over. Yeah. Hello.
I'm sorry, that's right. Just the way the internet works.
Hello, Viacom, welcome to this century.
Also in the news, Viacom talking to Hulu again about coming back. Back in March, they actually pulled all of their clips, including the very successful Daily Show and Colbert Report clips. And now Hulu, in advance of possibly doing a pay-per-view or a subscription model, is trying not only to get Viacom, but also their former sister company, CBS Corporation, to come into the Hulu tent.
Yeah, it seems like these sites are not going to be able to create a paid model until they can aggregate all of the content and make this one-stop shopping. Agreed?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's more compelling if you can tell somebody, hey, give us $5 a month and you'll get commercial-free versions of every single show on every major broadcast network, and as well as the most popular cable network shows like The Daily Show. That's something that people will step back and go, you know what, maybe that's worth buying some, you know, and I can get some movies in there too. But if you're saying, oh, you know, my favorite show is The Big Bang Theory, or my favorite show is Futurama on Comedy Central, that's not available on Hulu. Well, then you have fewer people signing up, and Hulu needs to make some money quick.
You know, 2 points on this. One, the average U.S. cable bill right now is $89 a month. So I think that the business model for a moderately priced subscription service online, nobody wants it. But if you could make this simple and you could aggregate content, I think that $5 is worth it. And when it becomes confusing, when it becomes splintered, that's when it just doesn't work for consumers. Just the average consumer doesn't have the time and energy to search out, oh, well, is my show on its own individual website? Is it on Hulu? Can I only get this through cable? It's too confusing. And so I think this is a win-win, that a moderate fee would actually benefit the consumer if it could be aggregated content.
And there'll still be free content. They're just talking about putting more commercials. Right now they only have like 6 minutes of commercials. It's only one commercial per break. And they're talking about adding more commercials to the breaks there for the free version. And then the pay version would eliminate that. And lest we forget, Hulu was started to take YouTube out of business. The idea was, we're going to blow these mother effers out of the way while Viacom goes and sues them, and Hulu's just going to take over the internet. And that did not happen, even with the high-quality broadcast material. The skateboarding cats are still ruling the roost in online video.
Well, and YouTube just seems like the Wild West, I think, to a lot of users. It just doesn't have that directory feel to help me find the stuff that I want. And you made this really good point the other day when we were talking, that video search is just not there yet. You can't find the thing you want easily.
Yeah, exactly. There's no one place where you can go and say, like, I want to find this kind of video and get it. Although there are sites like Clicker, where you can go and say, I want to find this show, and they'll help you navigate those strange waters. But if Hulu were able to start aggregating everything together and you knew, I can just go to Hulu, it kind of becomes like Amazon for shopping. It becomes your default choice, and they have almost everything.
Right. And you put, you know, you integrate that into a web-connected TV, and I think you've got a really powerful tool.
Today was the big announcement of the Motorola Droid X for Verizon. It's all official now. It'll be coming July 15th for $200. And as expected, it's a 4.3-inch screen, 854 by 480 handset with Android 2.1. They said Android 2.2, a.k.a. Froyo, will be coming later this year. Also gets DLNA support, real multi-touch. You can either use the multi-touch keyboard from Motorola or the swipe, which is built in. And Flash 10.1 support will come later. You do get Wi-Fi hotspot service, but it costs you an extra $20 a month. And there's a 2 gigabyte cap on the Wi-Fi service, even though you get unlimited data from Verizon for the rest of the phone.
You know, I have a couple questions on this. First off, I got to say, I've been using the Evo today as a Wi-Fi hotspot. It's been amazing. I mean, the speeds have been fantastic.
Yeah.
So I really think that this model of tethering and seeing these phones as hotspots, that is a great model for people because the speeds were really good. I mean, I'm in downtown San Francisco, but nonetheless. Secondly, do you think that because the Evo was so successful and these are such similar phones that it's a direct parallel that this is going to have the same success with Verizon?
I think probably yes, especially because it's seen as the successor to the Droid, which is the most successful Android phone we've ever seen. So people are going to get in line. $200 is not a bad price for this. The only thing it doesn't have the Evo has is 4G. And Verizon made some digs at the Evo. They pointed out, like, ours is slimmer. Ours is a little sleeker than the Evo. They're trying to play it up, saying this is a prettier phone and has all the same functionalities. They just kind of left out the 4G part of it. But you can't get that in a lot of places anyway.
What about the all-important kickstand? Does it have that?
No kickstand on the Droid X. Yep.
Oh, then that's game over.
Yeah, you're done? You got to have a kickstand?
I got to say, when I busted out, you know, gadget porn. When you bust out a new gadget in front of strangers, what did they want to see? The kickstand.
That is the main thing. I know. That's funny. And because it's impressive. Like, you can just sit it up and you can watch the videos.
And you can totally clean your fingernails with it.
Yeah. It has so many hundreds of uses around the house. Also, side note here, Google finally published the Froyo source code today through the public Android open source project. So enterprising people can get Android 2.2 easily, compile it themselves, not so easily, and put it on their phone themselves if they're going to get a Droid X on July 15th.
Hey, let's get a pizza and do that tonight.
Yeah, we have some dehydrated pizzas from Leo's Nutrisystem out in the back. We could just, warm those up and...
Sounds like an awesome project.
Have a little Froyo installation party.
Let's compile.
Yeah, a compilation party.
I'm down.
Yeah, we could have a compilation tape of our favorite music.
Sweet.
This episode is brought to you by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Unexpected computer disasters can happen. There was an earthquake up in Canada today. Thankfully, not a big computer disaster, but you never know where these things are going to strike. So you might want to make sure your data is safe. And if you're saying, hey, you know what? I've got it backed up locally on a hard drive I trust. I'm fine. It's always good to have redundancy. And you can use Carbonite to automatically back up a PC or a Mac. It doesn't matter. Helps protect all your valuable files, video, music, Word files, anything. It just does it automatically in the background. You get the files back with just a few clicks, and you get the added bonus of being able to access them on the fly. I can look at my Carbonite settings right now, get all my files from home without any trouble. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac is only $55 a year. That's just 15 cents a day. So try it out for free. No, I don't even have to spend anything yet. Go to Carbonite.com, enter the offer code TNT. If you decide to buy the service after the trial, you'll get 2 months free with the offer code TNT. So there's no harm in trying it. Try it for free. If you like it, get 2 months free on us. That's Carbonite.com, offer code TNT.
So let me get this straight. Our show is being subsidized by the good folks at Carbonite. You say that earthquakes happen, therefore you need to use Carbonite. And the example you used is an earthquake in Canada where you just were 4 days ago.
Yeah, it actually happened along the route that I drove from Montreal to Ottawa. So I'm thinking I might have run over something, like a mystical moose or something.
I think conspiracy theorists will have a field day with this, Tom.
Speaking of conspiracy theorists, Apple.
I can't wait.
I mean, who has more conspiracy theories about them? Apple. Well, here's one for you to conspiracize about. Apple has delayed their white iPhone 4 until mid to late July, they say, due to a manufacturing challenge. What is so challenging about making something white?
Well, it sounds like the baking didn't go well. I mean, I'm not exactly
sure. You're not coming
sure
from home today. We could have used the oven in this demonstration.
That's right, because the plastic casing on the new iPhone 4, which has the swanky hard edges and the flat bottom, and with the casing, it's not quite like the standard case for the iPhone 4, and it sounds like it's not cooking well.
Apple did have those discoloration issues with the white MacBooks in the past, so maybe the heat coming out of the phone is doing some discoloration. That's an Ars Technica supposition. Seems possible to me. But it's bad news for folks who like choice. And choice between white and black doesn't seem like that much choice, but at least it's something, right?
Well, no, you're going to have to go to the white Evo now.
Yes, exactly. You want a white phone? Get an Evo.
Right.
No problem.
It's all about the curtains, not about the plumbing.
Not about the drapes. Apple's iOS 4 has already been hacked, by the way. If you want a jailbreak, but you have been holding off upgrading to iOS 4, Ponage Tool 4.01 is out. Don't upgrade your phone from the old boot ROM. You need the old boot ROM, and you should not have used the Spirit method. However, if your 3GS has the new boot ROM, you're not going to be able to use the Pwnage tool. So previously jailbroken iPhone 3G or 3GS should be fine with the new Pwnage tool if you didn't use Spirit. All the links are in the story from Jim Dalrymple over at CNET. We'll have them in our show notes. But for those of you who like to have multitasking on your iPhone 3G, for instance, we've got the jailbreaking instructions for you.
And you have no problem using Pwnage so formally in a story?
No, I've been using it for years. Why would I stop now?
I've just wondered. I'm just checking from a purely semantic point of view.
A couple other iPhone news kicking around. Of course, everybody in the world, including Walt Mossberg, have their iPhone reviews out, mostly positive. Dramatic redesign, like the front-facing camera, batteries better. No big surprises there. What was sort of a surprise, actually wasn't a surprise, but what was fun for the iFixit guys is they got a hold of somebody's early shipped iPhone 4 and tore it apart, because that's what the iFixit guys do.
They loved the way that the antenna was built into the design. They said it was brilliant. And I mean, that seems to be one of the things that Steve Jobs was most proud of when he gave the demo. And they think that just based on the way it's built in, that it will significantly impact dropped calls.
Also, those famous two screws at the bottom of the device that we saw so much of when Gizmodo had a hold of the early version, they actually make it easy to get to the huge lithium ion battery inside. So it's not soldered to the logic board. You'll be able to relatively easily replace the battery, although it makes it difficult to replace the front panel now because the display and the touch panel are all glued together in the front. So trade-off there. Of course, any of that stuff voids your warranty, but if you're one of those people who likes to do that, you can. And another issue that was being reported, according to Computer World's Richie Jennings, a few folks had said, hey, I tried to take my iOS 4 upgraded iPhone, plug it into my Ford Sync, and it corrupted everything. I couldn't get Ford Sync to work anymore. One person wrote in with a supposed fix. You yank out the fuse for Sync for 15 to 30 seconds, and once it was replaced, you were able to at least charge the iPhone 3GS running iOS 4 and get Pandora streaming, but still couldn't get the library to play. So we said, well, we know somebody with Ford Sync in a 2010 Ford Mustang. I gave him my iPhone with iOS 4 on it, and Leo took it out, plugged it in, had no problems. I was a little nervous, actually, I have to say.
You thought that it might brick your iPhone?
Well, as he was walking out, Leo said, this better not corrupt my system.
Oh, you were worried that you were going to get in trouble with the boss.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, he was willing in the sake of science to try it out, and we had no issues here. So, as Leo pointed out in the pre-show, when you have this many millions of people upgrading their phones, and you have hundreds of thousands of people using the Ford Sync, even if a very small percentage of them run into a problem, it's not surprising to have a few people have this happen to them. My guess is it's probably folks who haven't upgraded to the most recent Ford Sync firmware, so maybe that would be something to troubleshoot if you are one of the people having this problem.
You know, one of the other things that really sparked for me with this story is that when you integrate a piece of technology into another device, whether it's a car or an appliance, we have different expectations. So when all of a sudden I thought, wow, his Sync is bricked, he has to go to the dealer to get that thing fixed. This is not, I want to just fix it myself and tweak with it and call tech support. I mean, that's a different animal because it's built into your car. And the same would be true if you had a Wi-Fi refrigerator. You're going to have your local plumber come out and help you troubleshoot why the screen went to blue screen of death?
I think you can do a lot with your car that you might not think you can. Because it's your car and you think, oh, I better not touch that, because not all those systems are integrated. It's not like the Ford Sync system is integrated into the drive system necessarily. So you could try to flash the firmware and upgrade it yourself, download it from the site. It's not hard, but I know what you mean. It scares you.
It is hard. It is. It's scary and it is hard because your brain doesn't think like that. You don't tinker with your car that way in the inside. It's not the computer. And we've gone certainly away from the tinkerers in the engine. There's so many fewer people who do that these days. So I just think it's an interesting, I think that most people would be really freaked out by that.
Yeah, it could be true there. Now, you were driving around today in San Francisco, and you saw our buddy Dmitry Medvedev, didn't you?
oh, you guys are pals. I didn't know. I just had to pull over and wait for the traffic to pass. There were about 100 cops leading a processional and a motorcade through San Francisco. And sure enough, it was Dmitry Medvedev, who's on a Silicon Valley and San Francisco tech tour, because revitalizing the Russian economy is apparently based on replicating the model that's working here.
So he not only has meetings with Steve Jobs of Apple and John Chambers of Cisco today, but he also stopped by Twitter yesterday and began, about 4 hours ago, he sent his first Twitter from the Kremlin Russia site. Let's see, 5 hours ago now. The first Twitter from Kremlin Russia, authored by Mr. Medvedev, was «Всем привет, я твитере, и это моя первое сообщение».
Oh, Tom.
So he's like, hello, all from Twitter, and this is my my first post, my first missive, if you will.
I had no idea you were, Cyrillic, Russian man? Who knew?
Я говорю русский язык.
Немного. Whoa.
He has a typo in there. There's a letter 6 after the word my, too.
Well, that means he really did it.
Yeah, exactly. That made it more authentic to me. I'm like, oh, no aide would have done that. He actually typed this in himself. He's got about 6 or 8 tweets. So check it out.
He's on a roll.
Kremlin Russia.
He's going to get some followers.
Also, Verizon's going to get more followers with 10 gigabit per second fiber going on. They say they managed to push 10 gigabits per second through their fiber optic network known as Fios. They were only able to actually get the computers to accept up to close to 1 gigabit per second. They had two PCs inside a house that they were trying this on. Combined, the two ports delivered approximately 1.85 gigabits per second. So 915 megabits per second is what they got on the PC. Is that enough? I'd take it if they're able to bring that to my house.
What am I getting up? I'm getting 7 up right now, 7 megs up.
I'm thirsty. This is down, obviously, the 1 gigabit per second down. And Verizon's doing this, in other words, to show, we deliver 50 megabits per second right now over fiber. And you may hear that cable is capable of doing that, and it's doing it in some areas. But we're trying to show that this isn't the end of the line. This is the beginning for us. We can push out a lot more, and they're maxed out. They're at the top end of their line. So we weren't stupid for spending all this money on fiber. It's a message to their investors, I think.
Do you think it might be a bit of a dog and pony show so that then they can go to the FCC and say, oh, look at this thing that we really want to do, but we can't if you do net neutrality?
That's a good question. If they say, well, I don't. I think it's more towards the people who've punished their stock for spending so much money rolling out. But if anybody can tie it back to net neutrality, I bet they will. No doubt about that. Are we excited about Bing upgrading the Bing.com/entertainment section?
Well, they seem to have really gotten a name for integrating multimedia into the search results itself. So I think this is a good advancement.
Yeah, you get to, and it's not just the Zune marketplace. You might think, oh, so now I can search music and they make me buy it from Zune. You can actually buy it from iTunes as well as Amazon. So where Google used to have this search and it would take you to Lala, and now it's broken because Apple bought it, Bing has a much more robust music search. And there's also some embedded games you can play right from the search results. That's more of a gee whiz kind of thing. But check it out, bing.com/entertainment. If you're into movies and games and that, you might find something worthwhile there. We also have a report that 20% of the 48,000 apps in the Android marketplace allow a third-party application access to sensitive or private information, according to a report released Tuesday. This is disturbing.
Well, I mean, let's look at the facts. Some of the things that they can do, I think, it's a little bit weird. So they say 5% of the apps can place a call to any number using your phone, and 2% can allow an app to send an SMS message to a premium text service. So those are not the 20% number, but that's a little creepy. And I wonder if, you know, as I've kind of advocated, I like the idea that we have two platforms, one that's open, and then you've got the iTunes app market that's regulated and closed and supervised. And I wonder if this isn't Steve Jobs looking at a story like this going, see, this is why we're such freaks about approving apps.
I'm sure he is, although Dan Hoffman of S Mobile Systems points out just because it's coming from a location like Android or the Apple Store doesn't mean you can assume the app isn't malicious. But you've got to figure fewer malicious apps are going to make it through that stringent Apple process than they would make it through the looser Android process. And Android allows you to install things from external sources as well as through their marketplace. So, you know, if you can't even trust the marketplaces from Apple and Google, the idea of going out on the web and just getting stuff, you know, willy-nilly and putting it on there becomes even more of a risky behavior. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but think about it. Make sure you really trust that source before you throw that on, because they're talking about having access to sending out text messages, finding the content of all your emails, making phone calls that you don't even know are happening to toll numbers. I mean, they can do some pretty bad stuff.
And a lot of that stuff goes straight back to your carrier billing, and you'd have no idea where it came from. And I mean, I'm not that diligent about checking my carrier bill, if you know what I mean. So I could see that slipping.
Yeah. So we can either talk about Sears and Kmart launching streaming video or Mobile Me helping cops. Your choice, okay. Becky.
I'm going to do them both. Sears says this summer, Sears and Kmart will sell TVs.
Choose.
I can't choose. I like
it's Sophie's choice.
PC, bacon and ice cream. So this Christmas, Sears and Kmart will sell TVs with streaming movie services built into them. Boom. That fast. You want more info? Go to the web. Next up. Mobile Me. We were just talking about it on Friday. So Apple says they're going to continue the service at $99. And one of the features that they say justifies that price is there's a new service that lets you track your iPad using your iPhone. So down in San Jose, an employee of the Apple Store had two of his iPads stolen. So he busts out Mobile Me. He brings the San Jose police officers in. They figure out the location of the iPads that have been stolen. Boom. Bad guys get caught. $99, looking worth it.
There was a similar story happened in Chicago when this first came out on the iPhone, where the guys actually didn't call the police. They found the guy themselves. Much riskier behavior. This was probably a smarter thing to say.
Yeah.
Let's bring in the cops and have them track down the bad guys.
And there have also been cases where people, before they had the GPS tracking on the iPads, but with iMacs and MacBook Pros, where they fired up the
Up the camera. I know. I love this story.
I know. Caught in the act.
All right. What's on the calendar besides the iPhone coming out tomorrow?
Yes. Well, we will not be discussing that any longer. One thing that I thought was really cool, just sort of a consumer-y thing, is that EA has dropped the price on iPhone games today, including Madden, FIFA, SimCity, all down to 99 cents. And this is for 48 hours only. And they also have The Sims 3 for $6.99. So these are really good prices on these games. And I think it's 48 hours only. It started yesterday. So you probably have a day to do it. So heads up, if you like those games.
I already have SimCity and Sims 3. I bought them at $9.99. But I might get the FIFA one. That sounds cool.
Yeah, fuck.
And so very timely after our 1-0 victory this morning.
Spoiler alert. Was on the Bay Bridge. I was so excited. I know we said we wouldn't have any spoilers, but you would have to be under a rock not to know that the U.S. Advanced to the round of 16.
Won the group victory for the first time since 1930. Thank you very much.
Oh, because I haven't gotten followed up on that. So on the goal differential, they beat England?
Yep.
Yes!
All right. Anyway, I said spoiler alert. So, sorry.
Okay.
On to the voicemails. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I just have one quick tech question. So we had two goals disallowed. And would you institute a replay around goal calls that are game deciders in soccer if you were the head of FIFA?
Yes.
Like a review for we call them TMOs in rugby.
Yeah, right. And I was going to say that was exactly what my example is going to be. In rugby, you have the guy that you call up to and the referee consults with and they look at the video and they make sure they get the call right. I think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah, and it's a standard around tries in rugby, or you could do the football model where you throw the flag and you get the challenge. I think probably in soccer it's more the rugby parallel than the challenge flag.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to make sure calls are right.
Yes.
In all sports. Okay. On to the voice.
I sidebarred. Sorry. Apologies.
On to the voicemails. This is Sports Talk AM on twit.tv. And calling in is JD from North Carolina. Hey, JD. You got a multitasking on your iPhone 3G question for us.
Guys, this is JD from North Carolina. Wanted to let you know that I upgraded my iPhone 3G to OS 4, which took a couple hours, as we said earlier. But then I also jailbroke it with the Red Snow, and lo and behold, guess what I have now? Multitasking on my 3G using the iPhone OS 4.0. How cool is that? Love the show. Bye.
There you go. It's exactly the person I was talking to earlier in the show. JD's like, haha, I've got 3G with multitasking and iOS 4. Thank you. Very, very excited for JD. And so there you go. There's, if you're wondering, should I risk the intricacies of the jailbreaking process, that would be one reason why you might want to. On to the emails. Our first one, Becky, you want to take this one from a former pre-owner?
Where are we?
Would you like me to?
Is this the one from the guy in Worcester?
Yeah, he's in Worcester.
Okay, I'll read it with his Worcester accent. Okay, I've been catching all the hype for a year about OnLive running on any computer. Not my 3.4 gigahertz running Windows 7. Will not work. Why? Pentium 4 OnLive requires dual core. Even if I had that, 3 megabits DSL is too slow. 5 minutes. So I guess the hype was once again overrated. When will I learn? He's basically calling Steve Perlman right out on the carpet. Former pre-owner from Worcester, Mass., Phil.
Well, Phil, I played OnLive last night on my computer. Played Arkham Asylum. It was fun. Worked great. Didn't have a problem. Also had a 50 megabit per second connection and a MacBook Pro that's, you know, a year and a half old. So the one thing that I found frustrating was it would not recognize my Logitech wireless mouse. And it was funny as it worked in the OnLive interface where I could use the mouse to go around and select the game. But when I actually started playing the game, the mouse didn't work anymore. I had to use the trackpad, which is really annoying when you're playing a game.
Oh, the humanity, Tom.
Seriously. So, I mean, this is an interesting report. It should work on older machines. That's kind of the point of OnLive. Yeah, your internet connection's got to be fast. I get that because they're trying to do this real-time streaming thing. So 3 megabit per second DSL, that's right down at the bottom of what they can tolerate. I'm not surprised that didn't work. But why would you need a dual core? I'm not sure about that. It should just stream. Maybe the dual core just isn't fast enough to keep up with that level of bandwidth. I'm sure somebody can explain it better than I can, but thanks for the report, Phil. It's good to know. On the topic of the Google Wi-Fi data causing all the ruckus, we have an email from Ralph who says, what I don't see discussed very much is encryption. There's been debate on encrypting the wireless, and Ms. Lane made the valid cafe Wi-Fi point. I'd like to suggest you can have your latte and encrypted Wi-Fi too. Use encrypted protocols with your provider's POP3, IMAP, etc. People who use encrypted POP3 or IMAP won't leak their passwords or their message contents over open Wi-Fi. And he's got several recommendations for encryption that he says he's learned about at DEF CON and ShmooCon, where he's found folks that should be most concerned about their communication, only a fifth of them, about a fifth of them, 20%, using clear comms at a hacker con. So anyway, if that makes you feel any better about not using proper encryption, maybe it does. And he says there's a Firefox plugin from the EFF that can help with the problem. It's called HTTPS Everywhere. You might want to check it out. Thanks, Ralph.
Right. Which one do you want me to do? You want me to do Matt from Lexington?
Yes, why don't you?
Traditional opening compliment in carrots. I like that. New listener to the show. Love it so far. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you. Let me say that as a sci-fi fan, I think the user interface used in Minority Report was very cool and had a huge wow factor. Lately, I've heard you and your users toss that term around a lot when talking about the camera-driven input technology, i.e. Xbox Kinect. However, I personally think that while that type of interface would have a high cool factor, if I could press the magic red button and make it poof appear today, it wouldn't be that universally adopted, with the exception of entertainment venues and maybe some specialty tasks. How many Joe Cubicle office workers can you envision holding their arms in the air and waving them about to interface with their computers for 8 hours a day? We'd all have ripped biceps, let me tell you.
I think this is a good point because of the whole gorilla arm thing, but I'm totally been distracted because Leo just walked in with someone's iPhone 4.
Aha. Ooh.
So we actually have the hands on here.
This is Will Soper is our accountant. He's across the street. But that's not why we chose him. He's a great accountant.
He was chosen by Apple.
He ordered an iPhone 4. And you know what? This is a gorgeous piece. It's got the glass on the back, which is very interesting. Very square feeling. Feels heavy almost. But look at that screen. What do you think of the screen?
Yeah, that is the Retina display, and it is gorgeous. The glass seems dark to me. Darker than this. Like the brightness. Maybe, do you have the brightness turned down?
He's got it in the middle.
Okay. Maybe I just have the brightness turned on.
Do we have a tight shot anywhere? How about that camera 5 shot? What's that camera 5 shot look like?
Yeah, let's turn it.
Because you don't need me. You could bring it over to the camera 5
But that shot is a crisp look, and you're right about the folders. I think you can read them better.
Oh, yeah. You can totally see what's in them. Yeah. Those little mini icons are made for the folders. So there it is. That's the display. And, you know, I don't know. It's not going to communicate over
Flash
media encoder and SDTV. But it it feels solid. It doesn't feel flickery at all. It feels very solid. And show it on its side. I mean, we've seen it. It's not like we haven't seen this before, but.
If you compare the two, the old one starts to look bulky. You'd think with the squared off that they wouldn't, but it does.
It's very modern.
It's hard to communicate to people how different it feels in your hand. And I know that's a strange way of describing it, but I really noticed a difference.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a different hand feel. So you have yours already, Becky?
No, just from Jason Chen's and from
the
keynote.
You felt it at Jason's house.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now, what's the show the screws at the bottom, because we were talking about this earlier about, you know, if you want to pop it open and replace the battery and void your warranty.
I guess it'd be easy to get into.
Yeah. Huh? You can give me mine back. You don't need to hold
it. It should auto-focus on that, Eric. It's just an issue of light, you know?
Yeah.
You know why? Because you're getting the brightness of this reflection of this display.
Now you can't really see it, but they're right. They're right there to the either side of the port.
That's where the speakers are.
Right between the speakers and the port.
And you'll also notice the second microphone is, where is that? Is that over on the other side? For the noise canceling.
Right.
Now, I've heard some people saying that they've seen scratches show up fast
already
on that. So I don't see any on this one.
On the glass or the metal?
And I don't want to scratch up your iPhone to test it, but it would be interesting to see.
Hey, why don't you just scratch it up?
Get a penny out.
Well, I think Will Soper is our accountant and just managed to be the guy to get his iPhone early. I discredited these reports because this happens every time. You know, it happened with the iPad as well, that they said, oh, yes, it's going to be delivered on the 23rd. But in fact, people have been getting them since yesterday.
Yeah, my sister-in-law got one today, too.
Yeah. So. And we should say he was able to activate it. So activation is good now.
Right. We talked to our friend yesterday on the show. He was able to activate it. It was Gil Cabrera. He was able to activate it right before he got on the air. So it wasn't a server issue. They just he just had to reboot in his case.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
Want me to go try it with the Ford Sync?
Sync. We'll do a third experiment. Yeah.
This is nice. I have to say, it's very legible. When you go to Maps, it's very crisp and clear. The text looks good. You opened a browser window, and I think that looked really really amazing.
Have you taken any pictures?
When I looked at it, I saw deep blacks. And that's a term you only use for plasma TVs, but that was something that came to mind when I was thinking about the resolution and the way that the screen looked.
Take a picture.
Tom's pretending to be new controls on here. These are the
pretending to be a reporter.
Pretending to be a reporter. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh,
what?
Oh,
oh, yeah.
So there's on the camera thing, there's a little button that swivels it around and turns your camera on. I press the button and it goes floop. It does this nice rotate.
Cool.
So do this. So record a video of yourself holding the camera so that it's front facing. And then you can import that right into the new iMovie and cut that up.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is a journalist's dream.
A little video blog posting, quick report from the field.
Yeah. And remember, the thing about iMovie on the new iPhone is that you can composite multiple clips. So you use the traditional camera to shoot your B-roll. You use the front-facing camera to shoot your stand-up. You throw it all into iMovie, and then you upload it.
Done and done.
That's what I'm saying.
She's thinking like a GMA reporter now.
Yeah.
Well, I did that, actually, at the keynote, but they wouldn't let me send it off the phone.
Right.
Because I made a little report for you guys.
Although, Clayton got to send his off as well.
Clayton's cuter.
Yeah, they
No, just kidding.
True, but
no, I find Becky hot.
Thank you.
You know that what's this? The look at the Apple website. I mean, that is very small type on the Apple website, and yet highly legible.
Yeah,
highly legible.
Deep blacks. I'm telling you, the contrast is very serious.
Well, thank you for bringing that by. I really appreciate
taking
the time to let us take a look at it.
Soper Beals. If you need great accountants in the city of Petaluma or anywhere in this great country of ours, just look them up. Will's a great. Will keeps us from going to jail.
That's good. Thank you. None of us like to go to jail. All right. Before
That's
I forget,
awesome.
I have to mention this episode is brought to you by Slingbox, which lets you watch your home
on
TV.
On that, it would look awesome.
On that. Can you imagine getting your high def? You get a high def signal at home.
And Android now, too.
You plug the Slingbox into your high def TV.
Android. And
then you watch it on your Android phone. You can watch it
your
on
BlackBerry.
Your iPhone 4. You can watch it on your BlackBerry. You watch it on your laptop.
Soon, I think the iPad's any minute. No.
This is how I want to cover BlizzCon.
So excited.
I want to just watch it on my Slingbox and just sit there and comment on the keynotes as they happen.
Deal.
Don't have to go anywhere.
Deal.
That's the way to go. So
I actually had... This is how much I love my Slingbox. I actually had my Ethernet... I mean, my cable jack moved in the house. I had to pay somebody like hundreds of dollars to go under the house and move my cable jack so I could plug in, when we got the new TV, plug in the Sling to the Ethernet so that I'd have my Sling.
Yeah.
That's how much I love my Sling.
So if you want to try it out, go to Best Buy, purchase a Sling Box, bring it home, hook it up, or you can go to slingbox.com/twit. We got one more email to get to before we finish out. This comes from Adam, who says, loving the new show and hearing Becky talk about how she loves to watch the Wallabies play at Telstra Stadium, the Sydney Olympic Stadium, formerly known as Stadium Australia, was really fun. Hate to be picky, though, but this is a well, actually, because Telstra used to have the naming rights for Stadium Australia, but they don't anymore. Becky, it's called ANZ Stadium.
I can't even remember what the stadium in San Francisco is called, and I drive by it every day. I mean, is it Tuesday?
ANZ Stadium, coincidentally.
Yeah, it's now ANZ Stadium as well. All stadiums are now called ANZ Stadium.
AMZ stands for Australia, New Zealand, and in fact, they have a famous biscuit, the Anzac Bicky. Remember Alison Strawn used to make Anzac Bickies for us every year.
So there you go.
I stand corrected.
You're sitting. That's fine. Well, thanks, everybody, for watching. And thanks again. What was our accountant's name? I don't want to get it wrong.
Will Soper. S-O-P-E-R.
Thanks to Will Soper for bringing in the iPhone 4. You can check us out at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. It's 260-260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.